नारायण नमस्कृत नरोम नरोत्तम देवी सरस्वती व्यास तिथोज मुदीर नष्ट स्वरिषु नित्यं भागवत सेवाय भागवत उत्तम श्लोक भक्तिर्भवती नैश्चिकी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्णा. So, this afternoon I was asked to serve by preaching on the topic, the need to go beyond worship. The need to go beyond worship. So, we will find out from the Shastra and from practical experience also, how that can be done, the need to go beyond worship. So, in the scriptures, and I know given Bhagavad Gita at some point soon, I will ask you to open a particular text. There are four kinds of people that come to Krishna consciousness. The distressed, the inquisitive, those that are a little short of finances, and those who are seeking knowledge. This is what Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita. And then there are four classes of people who don't want to have much to do with Krishna. Four classes of atheists. Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, puts it very, very simply, the class of those who believe in God, in Krishna, and those who do not. So it is very, very simple. You can do a simple experiment, not even so much an experiment, just ask. Sir, do you believe in God? No, that means he put you in the class of atheists, and atheists are also demonic. Sometimes we look at demons as those who cause real big atrocities like Hitler and what he did. But if you do not believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you don't believe in God, then you will be acting contrary to what is in the scriptures. Therefore, if you live a life, a person who's like that lives a life based on their own decisions. They're not guided by any authority, scriptural authority. Four classes of atheists. And the scriptures describe them in Bhagavad Gita chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text 15. So I'd like those who have Bhagavad Gita open the text 15 of chapter 7. You don't have one? We have one. I think you're in there. Page number?
320.
320. Let me take a look. So I'll have you repeat after me the text, and then we'll go through the standard discount style. So Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 15, please repeat. Na mam duskritino mudha papadyante naradama mayaya pahrita jnana asuram bhavam ashrita namam duskritino mudha prapadyante naradama Paya Pavita Kyana. Asuram Bhavam Asvita.
Asuram Bhavam Asvita.
All right, please continue. Not. We're doing a word for word now. Mam, unto me. Miskritina, miscreants. Udha, foolish. Papadyante, surrender. Nara Adama, lowest among mankind. Mayaya, by the illusory energy. Apahrita, stolen. Jnana, whose knowledge? Asuram, demonic. Bhavam, nature. Ashita,
accepting.
Translation by Sivan Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are the lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. Please repeat. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish,
who are lowest among mankind,
whose knowledge is stolen by illusion,
and who partake of the atheistic nature
of demons,
do not surrender unto me.
Very long purport. Srila Prabhupada explains. It is said in the Bhagavad Gita that simply by surrendering oneself unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can surmount the stringent laws of material nature. At this point, the question arises, how is it that educated philosophers, scientists, businessmen, administrators, and all the leaders of ordinary men do not surrender to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the all-powerful personality of Godhead? Mukti, or liberation from the laws of material nature, is sought by leaders of mankind in different ways and with great plans and perseverance for a great many years and births. But if that liberation is possible by simply surrendering unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then why don't these intelligent and hard-working leaders adopt this simple method? The Gita answers this question very frankly. Those really learned leaders of society like Brahma, Shiva, Kapila, the Kumaras, Manu, Vyasa, Devala, Asita, Janak, Prahlad, Bali, and later on Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Sri Chaitanya, and many others who are faithful philosophers, politicians, educators, scientists, etc. They surrender to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-powerful authority. Those who are not actually philosophers, scientists, educators, administrators, etc., but who pose themselves as such for material gain, do not accept the plan or path of the Supreme Lord. They have no idea of God. They simply manufacture their own worldly plans and consequently complicate the problems of material existence in their vain attempts to solve them. Because material energy, nature, is so powerful, it can resist the unauthorized plans of the atheists and baffle the knowledge of the planning commissions. The atheistic plan makers are described herein by the word miskritina, or miscreants. Kriti means one who has performed meritorious work. The atheist plant maker is sometimes very intelligent and meritorious also, because any gigantic plan, good or bad, must take intelligence to execute. But because the atheist brain is improperly utilized in opposing the plan of the Supreme Lord, the atheistic plan maker is called duskriti, which indicates that his intelligence
and efforts are misdirected. In the Gita, it is clearly mentioned that material energy works fully under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It has no independent authority. It works as the shadow moves in accordance with the movements of the object. But still, material energy is very powerful, and the atheist, due to his godless temperament, cannot know how it works, nor can he know the plan of the Supreme Lord. Under illusion and the modes of passion and ignorance, all his plans are baffled, as in the case of Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, whose plans were smashed to dust, because although they were both materially learned as scientists, philosophers, administrators, and educators. These two scrutinous or miscreants are of four different patterns as outlined below. So then Srila Prabhupada is going to go into each one of them. I'll actually stop here. We'll get to the rest of them. But in order to seek help from my spiritual master in the Parampara, Om Gina Tumidanyasya Gyana Gina Shalakaya Chakshu Unritam Gina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadanti Swaha Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vita Patakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shicha Shri Rupa Sahagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shicha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhi Vrindavaneshwari Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpati Rubyascha Kripa Sundibhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sirvaita Gadadha Chibasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirvishesha, Sunyavari, Paschatyari, Shachari. Namo Mahavadanyaya, Krishna Premipadayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Namini Gurati Sherama. Nandali the Maya Vigrahaya, Imagya Divacha Vishundaraya, Tasmi Maha Prima Raspadaya, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste, Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste. Hare Krishna. So, in this text, Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, Text 15, Krishna is saying, those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender to me. I said earlier on that the title of this is The Need to Go Beyond Worship. In order to worship any personality, first, you have to believe in them. First, you have to believe in them for whatever the reason is. We're talking generally now. Sometimes some people worship for a particular thing that they want. And if you come to the highest in Krishna consciousness, we worship because we want to give ourselves to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We don't do it for want of something. The only thing that comes from our worship is an exchange of love. Learning to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and He loves in return. This is the lifestyle of those who are liberated, those who are in the spiritual world.
It is the exchange of love in five major relationships, which we'll get to later. And apart from that, in any of these relationships, each soul, each personality has their own, lack of a better word, custom-made relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you can relate to the Lord as a friend. So the Lord has many, many, many friends who are pure devotees. We know one particular one, the celebrated one, Arjuna, in the Bhagavad Gita. And we saw the relationship in Mahabharata between Arjuna and Krishna. Very, very sweet relationship. We also have, each one of us, has their own relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in these five categories. I just mentioned one, but we can serve in neutrality. We can serve as a servant, or as a friend, as was mentioned earlier, or as a parental, as a parent, or as a lover. And all of these are most, most confidential, the relationships. And Sri Jagannath Bali Subhadra Marani Ki, Runitai Ki, Sri Prabhupada Ki, Jai. They are wonderful relationships that are everlasting. Sometimes we get into relationships among each other. Whatever the relationship is, we go for a while and there's disagreement, and the disagreement affects the relationship, and the relationship is put on hold, sometimes temporarily or sometimes permanently. Krishna and the jiva, the soul, we are part and parcels of him. His relationship goes on forever. There is no break. There is no like disagreement and breaking up and this complaint and so on, as it happens here. So the relationships that we have between ourselves and the Lord are the highest in terms of the sweetness of it. Very, very wonderful. And so if we give our hearts to the Lord, then he also reciprocates. In this text, though, we're talking about those who don't surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Śrīla Prabhupāda starts by saying that in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that if we surrender ourselves to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then we can surmount the stringent laws of material nature. Krishna says, Daivihi Shagna Mahikama Maya Duratyaya Mame Vajay Bhupadyante Maya Mitatarantite. He says, this material energy of mine, this divine material energy, everything about the Lord is divine, is difficult to deal with. But those who have surrendered, they can easily cross over it. Krishna that owns everything, he says like that. It's a question of whether we want to believe it or not. As they say, try it, you might like it. You try it, you'll see that actually he's serious. Krishna can sometimes joke with his mom, joke with his gopis and so on. But everything that he says in the Bhagavad Gita, he's serious about it. Very, very serious about it. So those who, as Śrīla Prabhupāda says, they're asking the question, how is it that educated philosophers, scientists, businessmen, administrators, and other kinds of leaders don't surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, even though Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, surrendering oneself to the lotus feet of the Lord, he says, you surrender to me, then life is easily manageable. We want to do, because these people that are listed, these so-called educated philosophers and scientists and so on, they don't, because they don't surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Because they want to control. They want to control the material energy. They pose themselves as the one with all of the answers to life. But it's funny, if you've been involved in research before, you know the truth about it. People do research in different aspects, in science and in arts, and the arts people speculate, and the scientists make assumptions, and then they come up with some conclusions to some experiment, and then after a while that's published, and after that another publication comes that goes against the first one that was published. And so if it's like this, no, it's like that. But the same thing is like this and some things like that. So the poor reader, which one do we take? The current one? No, because after a while, in the future, somebody else will come up with some equipment that's supposed to make better measurements than the ones before, and then come up with the conclusion that, well, yeah, we thought it was like this, but no, not quite like that. And I'll tell you a story. So I finished my undergraduate in Ghana, in West Africa. Then came to graduate school in the United States. I had read the chemistry books. My background is chemistry. And I had, in fact, used some of the explanations as to how the, you know, what's called the mechanisms, the breakdown of how chemical reactions work. I know I've used this, I have used it, and I've explained it, drawn structures and so on to support the argument, and gotten good grades. Gotten good grades. I come to this country, there's a seminar, and these professors are sitting there, this is Boston, and there is one point that's being discussed. And so, of course, there was a person who was actually conducting that whole workshop, seminar, called a seminar. But those who are listening can also chime in. And so, for describing something that I was sure the answer was correct, I raised my hand and answered it with this mechanism that I learned from undergraduate. It fits it perfectly. Nobody said no to me, but they turned around and smiled at me and said, we know what you're talking about, but we don't think that way about it now. Just like that. My chemistry professor said, yeah, sure, it's hyperconjugation, but we don't think about that now, right? Which means what you learned in college, undergraduate, and getting your A's for it, now it doesn't apply. That is material energy. What is factual is spiritual. Spiritual energy, spiritual facts don't change ever. And so the intelligent person then will have to submit to what is factual. And that comes from the all-powerful authority, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why Srila Prabhupada said, the Gita answers this question frankly. First, he said, those who are educated philosophers and so on. And then he says, the really learned leaders of society. Then he mentions Brahma, the engineer of this universe, Shiva, Kapila, Kumaras, Manu, Vyas, Devala, Prahlad, Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are faithful philosophers, which they believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They surrender. So there's a class of those who are atheistic, who don't surrender, and those who do are those who are connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and these are pure devotees of our Lord. And that's whose teachings we go by. So those who make plans, the atheists, they are called the skritina. and Buddha. And so back in the description given in the purports, first, Srila Prabhupada describes mudas. Mudas are grossly foolish, like hard-working beasts of burden. And the typical one that's given is the donkey. The donkey is employed by the master, and so much heavy load is put on the back of this poor donkey, and it's rigged in the front of the donkey such that in just a short distance, there is grass. And the idea is, if the donkey is thinking, I take a few steps, I can get to the grass and I can eat it. But as he moves, the grass also moves because it's rigged to his neck. And of course, in the direction that the person that's owns the or is using that particular animal wants him to go. So that way, he do so much work. And the ass or the donkey doesn't really know who he works for so hard day and night. He remains satisfied by filling, Sri Prabhupada said, filling his stomach with a bundle of grass, sleeping for a while under the fear of being beaten by his master. And sometimes this donkey sings poetry and philosophy, and we'll put definition to that. But this brain sounds, the Papa says, it only disturbs others. When you come to Krishna consciousness, and for a period of time, you hear, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains what is in the Bhagavad Gita, and the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pure devotees of the Lord, tell you also what is. What is what? That is, factually. And later on, if you are in a situation where you have to listen to a lecture or a comment by somebody who is speculating about what things are like, it's very difficult to listen to. It's very, very, very difficult to listen. Because you know the person is making all kinds of assumptions, but they are touted as someone who has knowledge that we all need to listen to. And I've been through that, in different situations in university. Sometimes there's graduation and then wonderful, all students are all ready to receive their degrees. And then there's somebody who would give a keynote speech. Now, relating to students, that's all right. But when they go past students and they try to talk about something philosophical, and then you know what it is, in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, it makes it very difficult to listen to those kind of things. But, this is what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. They talk about poetry and philosophy, but this brain sound only disturbs others. They think they know, but they really don't. The second class is called Naranama, the lowest of mankind. Nara means human being. And Adama means the lowest. So, there are 400,000 types of humans among the total 8,400,000 species of living beings that the soul can occupy. So, in the humans, there are categories. Some are civilized, some are uncivilized. Now, this is based on religious principles. So Srila Prabhupada says those who are socially and politically developed but who have no religious principles, they are considered Naragamas. Those who may know other things and they don't have religious principles, they're not ruled by religious principles, they don't believe and they don't live by that, they're called Naragamas. Now, I'm going to bring one person about whom I've read
About a week ago, there was a book that I had for a while. His Holiness Dhanavir Maharaj wrote the book. It's called Brain Gain. And I'd been reading other books, and somehow Krishna just put my mind on it. I picked the book and I looked at it, and there's quotations from a lot of people: Pythagoras, Tolstoy, the name you name it, all of these people. And the things that we're talking about were quite interesting. They had had some realizations themselves. But there was one personality that they beat up quite a bit. And that surprised me, and he's quite popular. I'm talking about none other than Freud. Now, this is not Krishna conscious people that are beating up Freud now. There are other people that are well known, Greek philosophers in the... And why? Well, the reason was because Freud brought up, and I'll try to use words that are, you know, because we have deities here, so I have to be careful what words I use. But he was coming up with the idea that, and this is all based on the mode of passion, by the way, that he liked his mother and he was jealous of his father. Means he was jealous of the relationship between the mother and the father. And he wished that he was in his father's position. This is Freud. And I'll throw one word in so you get what I'm talking about. He wished he was in his father's position sexually. Freud. D. Freud, huh? And so many of these other scientists or other politicians were saying, well, Freud is saying that that is something that goes on in the minds of quite a few young men and their parents, but we don't believe in that at all. Well, thank God they don't, because it's actually not true. But see, he has been painted as someone in authority. Yet they come up with this, you know, very, 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 and I'll use the word, wacky type of conclusions. So, in order to get the story straight, it has to come from an authority connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, if Freud will make another statement of that nature, then he's also in the class of the Naradama. Just like that's what Sri Prabhupada is talking about. They do not have real religious life, don't have religious principles, they are considered Naradamas. Then, the next class is called Mayaya Parita Jnana, or those persons whose so-called knowledge has been nullified by the influence of the illusory material energy. In the text itself, it says Mayaya Parita Jnana is those whose knowledge has been stolen by the material energy. So, there are a great number of Mayaya Parita Jnana at the present moment, Sri Prabhupada says, even among the scholars of Bhagavad Gita. There's Bhagavad Gita that's written, and it says that the five Pandavas, we know their actual personalities, Yudhishthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva, they represent, and they went to five different qualities of a human being. And then you go off on that, and then they try to present some, whatever conclusions they can from that. But the Pandavas were pure devotees of the Lord, and they were used in service to the Lord in a particular way. They were Kshatriyas. Now, how does a Kshatriya now, somebody just takes the same Bhagavad Gita and then tries to present it, a certain quality is this thing, certain this, and so on. And so Srila Prabhupada said, so many people gave commentaries, assumptions from the Bhagavad Gita, but they could not make a devotee of the Lord from their comments.
It's only when Srila Prabhupada said things the way they were, and Srila Prabhupada's comments made people understand Bhagavad Gita even more, and they surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They started their quest back to Godhead from his comments. And Srila Prabhupada's comments, if you read, and we're reading some of it now, it is very, very much on point. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada himself said it, that Krishna literally guided him in all of the comments that he made. That's why when Srila Prabhupada would write, later he would have his devotee read his own comments to him, and he was very excited to hear his comments. And he said, but he's an author. Why is he excited about somebody else reading what he has written? He never looked at himself as the writer. He looked at himself that the ideas were coming from Krishna to him. And he was spreading Krishna consciousness purports like that. And every time he reads purports, he's very direct. But Krishna, literally, is the one that's guiding him. And speaking about that, Janamaya Swami also talked about the story involving what Srila Prabhupada said one time. He said, he was with Krishna in the spiritual world. And Krishna asked him to come to the material world. You go to the material world. Srila Prabhupada said, looked at Krishna and said, are you really serious? You want me to come to the material world? It's a very horrible place. A horrible place. Because those in the spiritual world, they know this is a place of suffering. We're just trying to make it. But Krishna says, well, you go and you write some books and you express Krishna consciousness through those books. So Srila Prabhupada was in fact requested by Krishna to come to the material world. And so what he wrote, and he wrote a lot, 84 books in 12 years. What he wrote was in fact from Krishna. He was serving, even in that writing capacity, he was still serving Krishna. The ideas were coming through the Lord. Final is the last class, Asuram Bhavam Ashita, those of demonic principles. That those are openly atheistic. They will tell you that the Lord never descend, they can never come to this material world. And I always laugh about that when I hear it, because so who has created a house and they can't walk into the house? The engineer is grand people, he's built a house. Because he's built a house, he can't go into the house. Does that make sense? Of course not. So if Krishna has put the material world together, he can't come to the material world? But then some of the atheists, they say, no. He can't come here. There are some people in religion who say that. God's son can come, but God himself, no. God is banned from coming to what he built, but his son can come. So then Krishna says, Sarvadharma Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Abandon all these varieties of religion, even those who say they know God, because they do not know God in a transcendental level, they know God in a material level. So, the foolish persons, the lowest of mankind, the deluded speculators, and the professed atheists, they don't submit to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in worshiping, and even going beyond worship, there are some worshippers that do so to get something in return, like a bribe. Those who worship demigods, demigods are in charge of certain departments. They can get material favors. Yes, in the material universes, to be alive means to have desires. Desires will always be there. There's nothing wrong with desires. But the point is, desires with what in mind? What at the back of the mind of the person who is desiring? We can desire things. Some mundane people worship Some people worship their cars, especially the expensive cars. I've seen. Put it in the garage. It's painted nicely. Shiny red, shiny yellow. Only once in the blue moon they come out with it and they drive around and put it back. Then they have other cars that does the regular day-to-day job, right? But this other one is very nice. They put their in, they just want to get the attention of people. So that's worship, but in the mundane way. Some people worship animals. Dogs. You put nice clothes on them. Stroll and all of that, and sometimes there's competitions for particular animals to see which ones are groomed nicely, and they take their animals to that, and sometimes they win, sometimes they don't, but sometimes they win. It doesn't matter, they still like to worship the animals. Now, so say you have a dog, and this is because your papa said it, I'm just sharing. And a person is getting ready to leave their body. Now, in the scriptures, Krishna makes it clear that the thoughts of that person at the time they're leaving will determine the next birth, the type of birth that they take. 8,400,000 types of bodies, because we have 8,400,000 desires. Not everybody has all of them, but this total. That's what, so there's a physical body for any of these. And so Srila Prabhupada was a lecture that I was listening to, that somebody just, you know, a dog, that they worship the dog, and they're getting ready to leave the body, and, oh, my dog, who's going to take care of my dog? Let me leave some property for my dog. He said, you may leave property for your dog, but you are going to be dog next life. Why? Because the mind, the subtle body, carries the soul to the next existence. The subtle body has the mind. And so if we're leaving and we're thinking about a particular thing, whatever that thing is, that's in the mind. And the mind is part of the subtle body, and the subtle body is carrying the soul there. So if you think that way at the time you're dying, you are telling the transcendental system or those who determine the next birth that that's what you want to be about. So don't blame in Krishna or the establishment, spiritual establishment, for taking the person to that particular body. So what should we do? Well, if we want to go to Krishna, we should be about Krishna. Just like Rupa Goswami says, always think of Krishna, don't forget Krishna. One of the easiest ways to think about Krishna is to chant his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when a person is leaving, is dying, the predominant thought is what they've been about most of their lives. That's what will be at the mind, at the back of their minds. Or predominant in their mind, not even in the back, predominant in their minds. So if we chant Krishna's name more often, then we will think of Krishna at the time of death. And therefore, he says, you think what you think of, that's what you're going to obtain. Then you get to go to Krishna Loka back home. As far as worshiping goes, some people worship the clothes. Certain types of clothes, they are very expensive. And jewelry. And then the others worship musicians or popular athletes. Some of them even make themselves groupies, if you know what I mean. But there are other people who worship demigods. Without understanding that the Supreme Lord has dominion over everything. That whatever the demigods have, it's the Lord that actually gives to them. The Lord is the owner of everything, material and spiritual. So there are people who want obstacles removed, they may worship Ganesh. But Prahlad Maharaj, when he was in danger of being killed by his father, Hiranyakashipu, he concentrated on Supreme Personality of God only. People want to worship to knowledge and they go to God as Saraswati. But there was a Brahman who was trying, who was illiterate. He couldn't read Bhagavad Gita. And people were even laughing at him. But he did his best. Just looking at pictures and meditating on the pictures, especially the pictures of Krishna, the picture of Krishna and Arjuna with the horses in the battle of Kurukshetra. He knew who the Supreme Personality of Godhead was, and he knew who Arjuna was, a friend and a close associate, pure devotee of the Lord. There are people who want power, they may go to Brahma. There are people who go to Indra. But there are devotees like Sudama Vipra in the Shastra, who was very, very poor. And he was favored by the Lord because he was very much fully in love with the Lord. There are people who want mystic power and they worship the sun. The sun god can bestow mystic powers. But Amrish Maharaj was a pure devotee of the Lord. He didn't go by any mystic powers. Durvasa Muni, who tried to take Amrish Maharaj's life, he had mystic powers. And when he tried to use his mystic powers on the Lord protected Amrish Maharaj. As a matter of fact, he taught Durvasa Muni quite a lesson by bringing the Sudarshan Chakra to try to annihilate him, Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni had to finally come back to Amrish Maharaj after running all around the material and spiritual worlds, not getting any break. And the Sudarshan Chakra was after him, and he was running away. And the heat from the Sudarshan Chakra was already burning him. He went through a lot of trouble. Finally, he went to Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu says, "You have offended my devotee. Only he can pardon you. So go back." So he went to Amrish Maharaj. Amrish Maharaj did not have mystic powers, but he used practically every limb of his body to serve the Supreme Person. All his senses. People may worship Kuvera for wealth, but they were very poor. Pure devotees like Sridhar Kolavecha. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya loved him very much. He only sold banana leaves to try to go to live. And even that, he was giving part of what he was getting, a good part of it, for Krishna conscious activities. So there are many, 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 many people. Like, we just say one more. One, they worship Brahma for a long life. Shivananda Sena's son, he died very early. And he was very much connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What to speak is even understand, some of you may not know, but many of you know about Lord Jesus. He died at 33. 33 years old. Some people haven't decided what they want to major in life or what kind of job they're going to take finally. Even at 33, they're trying to figure out things. Some people who want to get married haven't married yet. So many things. But he was finished his business and he was gone at 33. So it boils down to how connected we are to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So going beyond worship is, yes, it involves connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but giving your heart to the Lord. You can worship an authority, but when you worship with love, then that's higher than just regular worship. And that is the point we want to make here. So going beyond just worship is also to have a relationship that involves loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we, at this point, are conditioned souls, most of us, not all of us. And we are learning how to get back to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead properly, like it is in the spiritual world. So we are being taught by the spiritual master, who is our guide, what to and what not to do, so that we would develop ultimately love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Worshipping out of love is beyond regular worship. And so they teach us, we start to have great faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead to begin with, and then associate with those who are also worshiping the Lord by this process. This is a transcendental process. It's not material. The best material situation is in different religions, and they will take you back to higher planets, higher heavenly planets, which are still in the material world. So the material world is actually a place of correction. And as we know, there are prisons that are maximum security prisons, and then there's some that are minimum security prisons. And so the minimum security prisons, there aren't too many problems there. Maximum security prisons, the guards have to be extra vigilant on everyone. So the heavenly planets are like minimum security prisons. There is wealth, material wealth, that's there. But there are controversies too. It doesn't stop. So it's only when we get out of the material world into the spiritual world that we will be totally free, as Srila Prabhupada told one of his disciples, who is a guru now in the Dunya Swami. He says, life here is difficult. Even when you're serving, it's difficult. Some things you have to do when you're serving devotionally, even that's there. But keep pushing and keep serving. Don't give up, because when we get back to the Lord abode in the spiritual world, it will be easier on everyone. It will be, see, Papa says, it's a lot easier to serve in the spiritual world. So whatever challenges that we face here, we take it that, all right, well, this is a house of correction, correctional facility, so things are going to be difficult. Things are not going to be so easy to do, but back home in the spiritual world, it will in fact be easier on all of us. The service will be easier on all of us. Srila Prabhupada made that clear to us. So no matter what, we should keep putting our hearts out by serving each other, by serving the spiritual master, and serving the deity. And the last point I want to make is, in service to the deity, we have to have one understanding, a very, very important understanding. The deity is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's come in a way in which we can perceive him, because he's spiritual. Normally we can't with these eyes, we can't see spiritual. We have to have the thought that if I don't do my service, the Lord will be deprived of what I'm supposed to do. That is always a consciousness that we have to have. If I don't provide water for my deity, then it's like the deity is there and he's going to be thirsty and you didn't provide water. It seems simple, but it is the kind of consciousness we have to have, especially those who had children. The baby is totally dependent on the parent. That is the mentality we should have in deity service. We have to make sure that all that we're supposed to do for the deity, we do, and we do it as a matter of duty and with seriousness. That if we don't do our part, then the Lord is deprived of what he or she should get, Radha or Krishna, or Radha and Krishna, should get. And so we should take that service very, very seriously. And with that, Krishna will be happy with us. And therefore, when we go back to the spiritual world, we will fit in to the kind of mentality that those in the spiritual world they have. So going beyond worship is putting your heart into the service that you do. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any comments or questions?
I'll do another one. Thank you for sharing the importance of going beyond worship in the heart. And in this age of Kali Yuga, you know, we know that it's so difficult to give the heart, because sometimes the heart is being attracted to so many other things. So how can we really understand the concept of giving the heart to the Lord?
So, for purposes of recording, yes, in this particular age that we're in, people struggle a little bit with just giving their heart to the Lord. So, what is that concept? In practical terms, the service that we should deliver that helps us to develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What service? Well, that's dictated by the spiritual master. We need to understand that we don't have the means to serve properly. Krishna has provided the means through the agency of the spiritual master. So one of the first things you do is, to be obedient to the spiritual master. To submit oneself to the spiritual master, to inquire and inquire in a submissive way, because spiritual master is also a person of authority. And serve. We serve the devotees, and what the spiritual master says, when he's pleased, he will in fact impart knowledge to us. And through that, we will develop the right consciousness in order to serve. So here, we are not speculating, or we're not thinking about ways in which we do things on our own. Well, yeah, this is God, and I'll serve him like this, I'll serve him like that. No, there is specific instructions in our books, and sometimes the spiritual master is there in person and will answer questions. So we approach the spiritual master. But to summarize a few things, there's hearing. Obviously, when you talk about spiritual master, you have to hear from the spiritual master. You have to chant the holy name of the Lord, and through that, our hearts may be purified. It's one of the two of the nine processes of serving, for the two main ones, hearing and also chanting the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any other comments, questions? Okay, so thank you for allowing me to serve you in this way. Shri Prabhupada ki, Vaishnava Thakur ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Hari.